Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
The White House says President Obama is madder than hell about reports of treatment delays at hospitals serving veterans.
The president is madder than hell.
It's inexcusable, and Americans are right to be angry about it, and I am angry about it. Nobody's madder than me about the fact that the website isn't working as well as it should.
Just how mad is the president about all this?
And so it's very upsetting to me to think that somebody showed such bad judgment that they would allow something like that to happen.
If it turns out that some of the allegations that have been made in the press are confirmed, then of course I'll be angry.
Carol, quite frankly, if the president is truly mad as hell, he should be mad at himself and his staff for not only ignoring our reporting, but the government's own reporting that's showing this was a problem and, in fact, ignoring his own campaign promise of 7 years ago.
Will a veteran in the audience please step forward and tell me why you'll vote for Obama again? Is there a veteran's wife, father, mother, child, brother, sister, or unborn who will admit to ever vote for a Democrat again? Here's Obama pretending he's really angry and upset over the VA scandal about the double set of books. But I have a question for you. Do you remember what he did during the government shutdown when he used police to shut down the World War II memorial to prevent the guys who defended our country from visiting their memorial while permitting non-citizens, illegal aliens, to disgrace the Capitol Mall by protesting U.S. immigration laws? Is there a veteran in the House who is that idiotic that they'd vote for a Democrat again? Of course he hates the veterans. It's in his DNA. He hates police. He hates veterans, except those who protect him. So of course he's upset over the VA scandal, because it's another scandal in a long list of scandals, and that's why I'm not going to talk about it. Welcome to the Savage Nation. I just wanted to attract your attention for a moment, because the lynch mob coming out of the White House is out for everybody that they can't control in every way they can. And that's why I want to talk about gluten instead. Do you have a gluten nut in your family? Let me explain this. A new study came out. You're not going to believe this. How long have I told you? Remember, I'm the only member of the major American media, certainly amongst talk show hosts, who knows anything about nutrition, vitamins, health. None of them know anything about it. Most of them are either lawyers or high school dropouts or golfers or whatever. God bless them. They know nothing about medicine and nutrition. I'm the only one who does. Well, how long have I told you that this idiocy about gluten sensitivity is a complete hysteria? It's mass hysteria. Now, listen to me carefully. It's very important, you gluten maniacs. Listen carefully. Let's go all the way back in time. Bread has been known as the staff of life from the beginning of recorded history. Bread, the staff of life. Jesus, give us this day our daily bread. But now you wake up and you've reinvented marriage, you've reinvented the weather. Now you're going to reinvent wheat and tell yourself that wheat is poisoning you because you're brainwashed, you have no capacity for reason. Let me prove it to you. Am I going to prove it to you? No. The researcher who first provided key evidence of gluten sensitivity, remember who I'm talking about now. He's not a Republican. Don't already write him off as an oil magnate who works for the Koch brothers. The researcher who provided key evidence of non-celiac disease gluten sensitivity just published a follow-up study that shows the opposite. The first follow-up paper came out last year in the journal Gastroenterology. And what does it say? It says that there is no non-celiac gluten sensitivity. He was mistaken. And he did a very serious study on it. You don't even know what gluten is, but you're sure that you're better when you don't have it, right? You've proven it to yourself. In fact, when you go to a restaurant to show how kosher you are, you tell the waiter that you're a gluten-free personality and you need a special menu. After all, what you've done here is just try to separate yourself as an elitist and show everyone else what barbarians they are by eating disgusting gluten-filled foods. Now, most of you who claim that you're gluten-free should understand that you're not gluten-sensitive. You're just part of the brainwashed masses, as I will prove to you in the next few minutes. The fact of the matter is gluten is now a huge industry. 30% of the morons in America who vote for Obama and believe he's a good guy who's being attacked by recalcitrant Republicans, the same idiots, want to eat less gluten. And sales of gluten-free products are estimated to hit $15 billion by 2016. What does it have to do with you? Let's say you're in a cab in New York or you're on the streets of Chicago listening to the Savage Nation. There's got to be a gluten nut in your family. You must have a gluten horror story. See, I have been in the health area for a long time, since the 1970s. I've written books on it. And I came to realize somewhere along the way that many of the people who claim to have this sensitivity or that sensitivity, and they go in restaurants and demand special this and special that, what they are is descendants of Orthodox Jewish people who were rabbis who wanted to eat only kosher food. But since they lost or eschewed their religion, their way of showing their non-religion is to show that they're gluten sensitive or lactose intolerant. And that way they separate themselves out from those who eat treif. So in other words, they're saying, you're a barbarian, I'm different, I'm better than you, I'm sensitive too. Now fill in the blank. I know this is offensive to you, which is why I'm trying to do it. I'm trying to wake you up by slapping you around with the truth. Gluten, my friends, is a protein found in wheat, barley, and other grains. It's what gives bread its chewiness. In fact, if you pick up certain pasta products, it says gluten-rich wheat. Why would they make pasta with gluten-rich wheat? So that the pasta doesn't disintegrate in the cooking pot. By the way, it's also used as a meat substitute. If you ever had wheat meat, seitan, or mock duck at a Thai restaurant, that's gluten. Now, the experts tell us that only 1% of Americans, about 3 million people, actually suffer from celiac disease. And yet 18% of the morons in America, in the adult population, now demand gluten-free foods. The fact of the matter is, I've told you that common sense would dictate that gluten is not toxic for most people except those with real celiac disease. So what did the scientist who first blew the whistle in a mistaken way, to show that there was gluten sensitivity among non-celiacs, what did he do? He did a very important study. He tested many people. And I'm not going to give you all the details because you'll get lost in the shuffle. But here's the thing to remember. He put subjects, both controls and subjects, on high gluten, low gluten, and no gluten diets, meaning placebo diets. And the subjects didn't even know which diet that they were on at any given time. He switched them around from high gluten, low gluten, and no gluten. And in the end, all of the treatment diets, even the placebo diet, caused pain, bloating, nausea, and gas to a similar degree. And it didn't matter if the diet contained gluten or it didn't. So what did he conclude? He said this is a nocebo effect. The self-diagnosed gluten-sensitive patients expected to feel worse on the study diets, so they felt worse on the diets. Do you understand that? So go ahead. Smell your bread. Smell the roses. Stop being a brainwashed individual in the United States of America. So if you have a gluten horror story or a gluten nut story in your family, I'd like to hear it for a few minutes. Or if you'd rather talk about any of the other topics that I'm about to read to you, I will do it. You see, the hysteria about gluten sensitivity is a mass hysteria on the order of global warming. Although Jerry Brown is one of the hysterics who is convinced that man is destroying the earth and modifying the climate, it just shows you that he is another climate hysteric. He's going to a conference today in Sacramento run by the University of California, of which I'm an alumnus. And instead of inviting any climate skeptics to debate it, it's all one-sided. That's not science. That's politics. So why is it that the entire political establishment on the left is so wed to this idea that man is destroying the environment? Because it's a way of raising taxes, controlling industry. In other words, it's a way to hobble everybody and turn them into more of a victim than they already are. You get it? That's why they're so tied into the system of man-made global warming. A new study came out that said there's been no global warming at all for 17 years and 9 months. None whatsoever. Did you hear that? Global temperature update. No global warming at all for 17 years and 9 months. Recent extreme weather, it's concluded, cannot be blamed on global warming because there has not been any global warming. In California, we had wildfires in San Diego, and everyone knows it was started by an illegal alien. Everybody knows that. He set the fire on purpose. And yet Governor Brown goes on and says it's caused by man. Well, of course it was caused by man, a man from another nation who didn't even belong here. So instead of telling you the illegals are starting fires in the woods, whatever they're doing it for, he's telling you that you did it. According to the RSS satellite data, the global warming trend in the last 17 years, 9 months since August 1996 is ZERO. I don't have to read you the data anymore. But what bothers me as a trained scientist is that the liars on the other side say that all the science is in and everyone agrees. That's rubbish. It's the mark of politics and brainwashing, not of science. Of course, we can go back to the first story. Obama says he's mad as hell about the VA scandal. Well, vets, I'm asking you again. I'm asking you again. Do you remember what he did to you during the government shutdown? Do you remember that he put police in front of the VA, the World War II Memorial? And why did he do that? It was to punish veterans, to punish the families and the men who defended our country from the World War II Memorial visitation. At the same time, he permitted non-citizens, illegal aliens, to mess up the Capitol Mall to protest U.S. immigration laws. He hates veterans. He hates veterans, and frankly, this is only one in a long series of scandals. He's not mad as hell. He's mad that it became a scandal. He's mad that his underlings let it get out of hand. He's mad that the double set of books got discovered. No, and we can go to barbecue if you'd like. I'm not going to do a barbecue. The benzoapyrenes and I don't get along. Say, oh, now you're doing just what you said you were going to not do. It's not elitism to know that there are food products that cause cancer. See, don't now jump to the other conclusion and say that you can eat sausages with impunity. Nitrites don't matter. They do matter. They're carcinogenic. Now, you'll enjoy your barbecue, but you should know that the blackened taste you like is giving you stomach cancer and other cancers because the benzoapyrenes have been known to cause cancer since the 1950s. Go ahead, enjoy your grill. Go ahead, grill away. Be Tony Soprano with the sausage links on your grill. I don't care. It doesn't bother me. Do what you want. We all got to die of something. As long as it isn't Mears, you're doing fine. Mir Bista Shane. 855-407... It's going to be one of those days. I can feel like I'm on a sled and the snow melted. That's what the show feels like. I knew it was going to happen. Tuesday is the worst day in the week in broadcasting. Monday, I'm always like a racehorse that wins the race. Nothing could stop me. Lights light up. The callers, they're jammed in. They were nothing. 3 hours, boom. Tuesday, you wish you were dead. It's like you're on a sled and you got on it and there was no snow to begin with, and you can't even find wheels to put on the skis of the sled. But if you care to talk about this, go ahead, see if I care. 855-497-282 is the phone number. I shot my wife. Shield actor charged with murder and wife's death. Who cares? Why do I care about an actor shooting his wife? Wouldn't you expect an actor to do something stupid? I mean, would you expect actors to invent the cure for polio? More executive actions to come from our executive-in-chief, our president-in-chief. Now, I love John Kerry. He said, if we're wrong on climate change, what's the worst that can happen? Well, let's see. You can destroy the economy. You can destroy businesses. You can imprison people for doing things that are perfectly legal. That's all that can happen. Record 10,996,000 on disability. Top story on Drudge. 11 million people faking disability. Of the 11 million, how many of them are really disabled? What would you say? What percentage? Impossible to know. I mean, why? How could you know? What other stories catching my eye? I don't know what else. I think I'm going to close the shop and go home, go to a best of. I'm not going to do it. I got tons of callers. I'm just kidding. Yesterday was so good. Play the montage from yesterday when I come back so they know what we did yesterday. Meanwhile, the phone number is 855. Again, I lost the Skype. I can't look at my producer's bald head. 855-407-282. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. It is the Savage Nation. It's 25 minutes after the hour. We're talking about mass hysteria. I've lived through a lot in my lifetime, but I've never seen the level of mass hysteria that I see today embracing such foolishness as masses of individuals thinking that they're sensitive to gluten and going on very costly, difficult-to-find gluten-free diets. Morons who don't know the first thing about science. They couldn't tell you the difference between carbon and oxygen, but they're convinced carbon is an enemy and that the man is causing global warming, another mass hysteria. And the people are stupider now. The more they have devices, the more they're on the Internet, the more they Twitter, the dumber they are. The higher the rate of Twittering, the stupider the person. The higher the rate of Twittering, the dumber the individual. Nothing. Morons. They come out of college, nothing. They learn nothing. All they learn is that capitalism is bad, mommy and daddy are evil, the Christian church is worse than Hitler, and that anyone who makes a living is a fascist. Morons. Idiots brainwashed in our universities. Let's take a quick call. The time is so short. I told you that the scientist who first triggered the whole gluten mania did a new study which showed that it doesn't exist. Andrew, WABC, go ahead, please.
Hey, Mike, I think you're dead wrong on the gluten issue. I don't think you've ever studied paleo diet.
All right, you think I'm wrong. How far did you go in school?
I went to college a little bit.
You got college, eh? What did you study there? What did you get into college?
Yeah, I studied liberal arts, Mike, but most of my...
All right, so you don't know anything. You're talking through your armpit. I told you that the study author who first triggered the gluten mania did a new study, and he did a mix of gluten-free, gluten-rich, and no gluten, and the people reacted the same way. They all thought that they were getting the same reactions. How do you explain that?
Well, what you got to do is you got to get an expert on your show who...
I am an expert, Schmendrick. What are you, one of these people who keeps going on and on even when you don't know what you're talking about?
No, I'm one of these people that studied paleo diets in state prison.
Whoa, the paleo diet. You read a paperback on the short line to the Poconos. What's the paleo diet? What, do you shoot deer and eat leaves? You grind up the hoof and turn it into a vitamin? What, do you have a hoof juice in the morning? What, do you make hoof juice out of the hoof? Hey, let me try that paleo diet. I'll have some hoof juice and some venison, and I'll eat some leaves.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
My, it sounded like a bad lead-in. All I heard was the lead-in to the lead-in, but not the lead-in. Welcome back to the Savage Nation, 34 minutes after the hour. Now, yesterday I played all of the racially motivated speeches that were done by Michelle Obama, John Kerry, Nancy Pelosi, and even little Timmy Geithner. They got him out of The Doctor and the Devils. In a past generation, Timmy Geithner probably would have been the type that knocked out drunks and sold them to doctors for anatomy lessons. But now he was born to a rich family in New York in the Five Towns, grew up rich, and yet he had the nerve to give a speech saying that the color of your skin determines whether you'll be successful or not. John Kerry did the same thing at Yale. Again, pandering to the non-whites in the audience like they're the good whites. I mean, you know, this is getting really sickening that these people are so... You know, there's a word that I'm looking for. Not demonic. The demagogue comes to mind. How can an audience of minorities look at a white man like John Kerry, one of the richest men on earth, gives a speech at Yale and talks again about, the race card. How can they listen to a guy like little Timmy Geithner say that the color of the skin determines a person's chances of success? You know, I mean, we can turn it around on him and say, sure, it sure worked that way for Obama and Holder. I agree with you on that. But no one would dare say that. I mean, you could turn rhetoric around on them if you had the chance, but they don't accept any arguments. It's not England. You know, although England has great limitations on free speech, I do love the two parties argue with each other in an open format. The idiots who run our country could never hold up to an actual debate, ever. All right, whatever. I'd rather talk about gluten. I knew this would trigger calls, but you're going to get basically marginal people. Anyone calling about gluten is a marginal person, one way or the other. Now they'll all hang up. I told you, and I'll repeat it again, the researchers who originally provided the key evidence of so-called gluten sensitivity amongst non-celiacs have now done a new study and proved definitively that it doesn't exist at all. So you can have your cake and eat it too. You can go ahead and eat your bread. Bread is the staff of life. Give us this day our daily bread. I mean, you what? You ask yourself how many people can brainwash themselves through the placebo effect into thinking that they're getting ill from bread, and they're going to get ill from bread. Now, it is true, if you eliminate bread, you're going to lose weight. There's no question about it. There are people who've given up bread and gluten. They think they feel better. Fine. But you're not feeling better because you've eliminated gluten from your diet. You're feeling better because you lost weight because you stopped eating bread. You stopped stuffing your face. I'm a gravy dipper. If I'm having a plate of spaghetti with sauce, I can't eat it unless I have crisp bread dipping it in the sauce. I like to feel the crunch and the taste of sauce. If I go to one of these like dinners like I went to, I love, you know, nice people, but there's nothing to dip. I went to a wedding not too long, a couple of years ago actually now. And nice people, but not ethnic people. They were non-ethnic people. They were real high European types. There was no food for an hour. People were passing out. I had to get in the car and drive to a Pizza Hut from the fancy catering hall. All they served was alcohol. It was like being in a Swedish hunting lodge. All that was there was severely high alcoholic level beverages with not even a nut. That's not my idea of a party. I put a party on for my daughter years ago, a wedding. As the people got out of their cars and they were walking, this is how I grew up. Someone was waiting with champagne in the parking lot. Then as they walked toward the thing, there was, you know, appetizers. Otherwise, you're seen as just skimpy and poor. But those days are over. No one cares what I did. Let's go to the callers and get on with the show. Dan from Pennsylvania, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please. What's on your mind?
Yeah, if you could go back and be 35, in your mid-30s, in this day and age with all the different diets and vitamins and supplements and foods out there, what would you do? What would you do differently with your knowledge so you can go back and do that going forward?
Nothing, because I wouldn't have gotten here if I had changed my diet. So think about what I just said. In other words, if I would say, yeah, I would do this or that, it means I wouldn't reach the age I'm at now. Look at this. I'm still living. So obviously what I was doing when I was 30 was correct.
Is there anything you could do now for people?
No, but listen 30? To what I'm saying. When I was 30, I was a health food fanatic. And I would say 30, we're talking about, without giving away the date, you can look it up on, everyone knows how old I am. Oh, by that point, I wouldn't touch meat. I was a fanatic on saturated fats. I wouldn't go near them. To me, it was like eating a burnt tire. Anything with saturated fat was like a death. I hated living that way. It was horrible. I was thin. I had low cholesterol. I had no energy. I could hardly function. I was half crazy. But as a result, my arteries are clean. So I thought it was related to that, but it really isn't. It's the fact that I inherited LPA, an LPA fraction that you can't even correct. Lipoprotein A is the most important of the lipids, and none of your, I guarantee you, none of your cardiologists, when you get the lipid tests, ever test for LPA. I guarantee it. As smart as they are, whatever school they went to, most cardiologists never heard of LPA. But you're asking me another question. I also, by the way, saturated my tissue now for 40 years. All my tissues have been saturated with vitamin C, vitamin E, and other vitamins, by the way. And the number one factor in atherosclerosis is not whether you're taking in cholesterol. The number one factor, which I've known since the early 70s, because I was a member in good standing of the most advanced thinkers in orthomolecular medicine, that was the Linus Pauling group. The most brilliant guy in the history of modern medicine was Linus Pauling. And there were others. There was the doctor from Canada. I don't want to go into the whole litany. It's not that interesting. Dr. Hoffer, Dr. Abe Hoffer, MD, PhD, he actually discovered that niacin lowers cholesterol in 1951. He was Canadian, and instead of patenting it, like today, the crooks in medicine would immediately patent that discovery and make billions of dollars so they can buy a yacht, whatever. He said that he wanted humanity to have that discovery for free, and he gave it to the public domain. Can you imagine if the guy who discovered niacin lowers cholesterol today, what he would do with that? You tell him he'd give it to the public domain, he would patent it. Anyway, so I grew up with those guys. They were great geniuses. And they all taught me that it's not the fats you eat, it's not the cholesterol that you eat, it's whether that cholesterol is being oxidized inside your body. Now, what does that mean? It means that if you have enough antioxidants in circulation, you're going to lower the conversion into to oxidized byproducts, lipid oxidation, is going to be limited, and the oxidized lipids are not going to cause the process which begins the breakdown of the arterial wall. So I'm saying I think that the high level of vitamins is one of the reasons I'm still here. I've also been a very serious drinker my whole life, Dan. I've always had alcohol in my life since I'm about 16. It's never affected me negatively, Dan. I never ran anyone over. I never got arrested for drunk driving because I don't drive when I'm drunk. I think alcohol is a health food, incidentally. I don't mean 10 drinks a night. I'm saying a couple of drinks, 2, 3, 4 ounces for a young person isn't going to hurt you if you're eating with it. And I would definitely recommend you never use marijuana. It's the most toxic drug in the world. It will distort your mind, and it will make you think that you're Superman, and you're not. I don't know if that... Yeah, the one thing I would take back in my whole life, if I could do it, is I'd be 17, and that guy Howie from Brooklyn, who gave me my first joint, I'd have his fingers cut off a year before that. God would have hit... A bus would have hit him, or he would have fallen in front of the IRT going to work. And his hands would have been cut off before he offered me that joint. I wasted a lot of years of my life smoking marijuana, the worst drug on the planet. Distorts everything. Any other questions? I got the answers. And again, my Skype isn't working. I'm going to cut it off altogether. Then I can't look at the producer's head. KCMO in Kansas City. Jason, you're on the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage, I used to be a personal fitness trainer back in 2007, and I noticed a lot of my clients that would come in, they were on the Atkins diet when it was really big, and a lot of them suffered from headaches. And I'm sure something that you know, but a lot of your listeners don't know, is when you cut out carbohydrates, bread and stuff like that, when carbs break down into those simple sugars, that is power for your brain. So my clients would come in, they would complain, oh, Jason, I can't work out today, I have all these headaches. It's like, well, you're having headaches because you're not taking in carbohydrates. You need carbohydrates, you know what I mean?
I do know what you mean, and the Atkins diet caused a lot of damage, in my estimation, for one particular reason. When you eat, let's say, steak, and I think his diet was largely protein, right? It was steak and vegetables, wasn't that it? And cut out all the carbs. What people don't know is that high-protein diets often not only challenge the kidneys, but because of the high nitrogen content, high-protein diets literally can break your kidneys down. If you're not getting other nutrients, like carbohydrates, you'll probably damage your kidneys from a strictly high nitrogen-based diet, meaning high protein only.
Exactly.
I mean, that's it. I took the air out of myself by saying that. And that's it. People are into the obsessive-compulsive eating disorders in America, and they want to believe that their life would be perfect if only they could find the magic key to the right diet. I'm not saying become a slob and start eating a McDonald's. I didn't say that. There's a balance point, and you have to find it on your own, and I don't want to go back to all the books I've written. My first published book was 1972. I've been writing since 1966. In fact, right now, I don't want to get off on a sidetrack. I'm going through all of my writings and all of my journals. It's a massive library that I have, and I'm trying to get it transcribed. I'm trying to find the right situation, whether it be my journals or my short stories. You know, I wrote Train Tracks, which contained some of my family stories. But I have many, many others, and some of them are a lot darker than what were in Train Tracks. The dark side of me was never shown in Train Tracks. The publisher didn't want it. It was a holiday book. But there's a darker side to me that is never seen. You hear it. You can impute it from my radio show that there's a dark side to me, and there is. Is it bad? The moon has a dark side. Is it a bad moon? I mean, what is it? Everyone's afraid of the dark side. What does the dark side mean? We're all moody. What a dark side? Ooh. What's the dark side? Ooh, dark side. I'm not a goth at night. I don't walk around like with purple hair and lipstick and long fingernails. I didn't mean that. There's a different side that you don't show on the radio, but you can hear it come out sometimes. In fact, the full range of a person's voice often indicates what you're hearing on an intuitive level in my voice is close to the full range of my being. I don't want to get into it because most people don't understand that. The voice is an instrument. Man, woman, it doesn't matter. And the instrument often, you know, tells you what's going on inside the person. No matter what they're talking about, you can hear the person through the voice. I'm getting off track. I don't know if I even want to do this. I may have to kill this whole subject. I tell you what we'll do. Guys, play the montage of the political commencement speeches from the weekend right now. Let's do it right now so they know what we did yesterday. And we'll talk about why is the administration stirring up racial enmity in America. Let's listen to that now.
You all take the diversity you're surrounded by for granted. You probably don't even notice it. And that's understandable given the country you have grown up in.
Our founders were successful disruptors of the then status quo. Being called a disruptor, in my view, is a very high compliment.
If we don't do more to coordinate an attack on extreme poverty, provide education, opportunity, and jobs, we invite instability, and I promise you, radical extremism is all too ready to fill the vacuum left behind.
How well you do in life today, how good your education is, how good your health care is, depends too much on the color of your skin or how rich your parents is. And that's something that should worry all Americans.
And segregation has reoccurred. Zero tolerance school discipline practices affect black males at a rate 3 times higher than their white peers. California,
yeah. All right, so they all did it. They were all on message. Stir up the masses. Attack the white male. Make the white man and the white person the scapegoat in America. I'm sorry to make a jump cut for you now. I see trends before you do, which is why I'm successful. I will tell you point blank, this was done in Germany in the 1930s. When Hitler's great experiments were not going as fast as he wanted them to go, when his economic measures were not working, when he could no longer get the German people behind him, this was early now, they decided in secret meetings, and I've studied this historically, to create a scapegoat. The scapegoat was the Jew. And then they all went out on message that the Jew caused Germany to collapse. The Jew was responsible for the lack of economic progress. Blah, blah, blah. So now we're not talking about Jewish people, thank God. Instead, they're talking about white people or rich people. The new scapegoat for Obama's lies, scandals, and failures is exactly what I just said to you. I see history being repeated. And watch out, because everything starts with a word and it ends with a deed. It's the Savage Nation. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
It is the Savage Nation, 54 minutes after the hour across America, making records wherever the show appears. And look, what's happening here is that you have a failed, collapsed presidency that is, I would say, more corrupt than any presidency I've seen in my lifetime. You've heard this before. You think it's just people who are bashing them because they're not Democrats, they're not liberals, or they're racist, whatever you want to, you know, fill in the blank of your own bias. But what he's doing here, him and his minions are scapegoating both white people and rich people, which is intriguing to me since he's surrounded by white rich people. And most of his funds come from white rich people. That's the intriguing part. But be very careful of the scapegoating, because I told you everything begins with a word and ends with a deed. And when you start scapegoating an entire class of people, whether it be on economics or on race, it ends badly, really badly. And I gave you an example yesterday of the Khmer Rouge in Cambodia. It's a very important lesson for you. Boys and girls, it's a really important lesson for you. Many of you are young and you've been brainwashed in colleges, and even if you had an independent, skeptical mind and you just went along with the program knowing that your radical, disgusting professor forced you to make believe you were listening, but you were smart enough to really know what was going on, the brainwashing has had its effect on you, and you're hobbled in your ability to speak your mind and to even see things as they are, which is, of course, why you're taking time out of your busy day to listen to Michael Savage. I am the uncle you've all wished that you had in your life, and I used to exist in America. I was the uncle that existed in every family, the Dutch uncle, whatever you want to say. Uncle Sal would come over to dinner on Sunday and argue with everybody, and you hated him, and you argued with him. But by Wednesday, you couldn't wait for the dinners again because you couldn't wait to, you know, argue with Sal, because at least you knew where he was coming from. And so I'm telling you where I'm coming from. Be very careful. This is the most dangerous time in modern American history, where you have an entire race and class being demonized by the most devious, corrupt individuals in the history of any administration in my lifetime, going all the way back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, the Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
You all take the diversity you're surrounded by for granted. You probably don't even notice it. And that's understandable, given the country you have grown up in.
Our founders were successful disruptors of the then status quo. Being called a disruptor, in my view, is a very high compliment.
If we don't do more to coordinate an attack on extreme poverty, provide education, opportunity, and jobs, we invite instability, and I promise you, radical extremism is all too ready to fill the vacuum left behind.
How the radical extremists have already filled the void. Turn off the little Timmy. Radical extremists have already filled the void. They're called Michelle Obama, Nancy Pelosi, Barack Obama, Eric Holder, and the others who are using every tool in their toolbox to stir up racial and class warfare in America. Make no mistake about it, this is serious business. I realize it's only a talk show and you want to be entertained, it's the middle of the day or whatever, and you don't want to hear it anymore. I get that, but I see the storm clouds on the horizon. I see what they're doing. I've studied history sufficient to know what demagogues do when they're being found out. Obama's been found out to be an incompetent liar from the top to the bottom. He's known as the Teflon Don because no scandal sticks to him, primarily because there's no press left anymore. There ain't no press anymore. There's no opposition party. Boehner is certainly not an opponent worthy of the situation that we have. We need a vigorous opposition party. We don't have that. And so consequently, the Teflon president gets away with it. And as the people suddenly, or slowly rather, have come to understand how incompetent he is, what they're doing now is ratcheting up the class warfare and the race warfare, targeting both white males and those with more than the poor. You see, to a poor man, anyone with more is a rich man. To the man without a car, the man with a bicycle is a rich man. To the man riding a bicycle in Manhattan, the guy with a broken car is a richer man. To the man with torn shoes, the man with shiny shoes is a rich man. To the man with an ugly wife, the man with a pretty wife is a rich man. To the homeless man, you see the picture? So they are using scapegoating techniques that have been used by demagogues in the past. I don't have to go to the most extreme example, which I've done in the last hour. The question is, what are you going to do about the fact that they are doing it? Huh? What are you going to do about it? I mean, there's nothing you can do about it other than, first of all, knowledge is power. You have to understand that. Just as global warming has been seen for the fraud it is, an attempt of overreach by governments, taxation, regulation, scare tactics again. Remember in the 70s what the big scare was? Do you remember it? Jerry Brown is now he's a global warming fanatic now, right? Back in the 70s, it was acid rain. Whatever happened to acid rain? In the 70s, the world was coming to an end because of high acid from pollution and the way the winds ran. All the northern forests in Europe were going to be wiped out. And many of us were frightened by that lie. Do you remember before that in the 60s, that crackpot professor at Stanford, Paul Ehrlich, wrote The Population Bomb, and he said we'd all be dead by 1975 from overpopulation? So far as I know, the crackpot is still teaching and collecting a big fat check, brainwashing the next generation. So now the brainwashing is on the climate. They've been proven wrong in virtually everything else, and now it's the climate change. They went from global warming, climate change, to now climate disruption. The definition of climate is disruption. Weather is not consistent anywhere except in a Hollywood movie. From one scene to the next, even the weather changes in a Hollywood movie. And yet here we have these lunatics, most of whom have no knowledge of science, saying all the science is in, which is the sign of no science. Can't say all the science is in, because tomorrow there could be a new experiment which disproves your belief system, your understanding, rather, of a subject, and that means that the science is not in. The minute you say the science is in, you become a zealot and a politician rather than a scientist. You say, you could say, well, most of the science is in, and we're open to the other side, but they don't say that. So the mark of a liar and a propagandist is saying all the science is in. The minute you hear that, you have to understand you're dealing with a fanatic, a liar through and through who wants to control you. And then I talked about the gluten-free mania. And to me, the definitive proof of my intuition on this matter was a study that came out by the individual who originally blew the whistle on gluten sensitivity and non-celiacs, the very same group of researchers who provided the key evidence for gluten sensitivity, did a new experiment, a new study, epidemiological study, which is my field, and they show that it doesn't exist. Common sense would have dictated that. Bread is the staff of life. You name it. In Roman days, bread people were paid for their labors in bread. And then you give that answer to those who are gluten fanatics. You know what they answer you? Monsanto. That's the new bumper sticker in Marin County. Monsanto. It's not Al-Qaeda. It's not terrorism. It's not Islamic terrorism. It's Monsanto. GMOs. It's not the wheat your grandmother ate. The Frankensteins in industry have modified the wheat in order to kill you and cause cancer and bloating. And all of that gas that your grandfather had was caused by Monsanto, the evil scientists. And this is what we're living with. We're living with not free radicals that are dangerous, but radicals per se in the Obama administration who are polluting the mentality of our country. If I were to tell you that most people who take antioxidants don't even know what an oxidant is or an antioxidant, I wouldn't be lying. If I said, find someone who lectures you on antioxidant diets to give you, for 1 second, to draw an organic formula of ubiquinone and show ubiquinone oxidized and ubiquinol reduced, they couldn't do it. But yet they're experts in antioxidants. If you were to ask your daughter, who let's say went to Harvard and has come back an expert on everything, but she lives with you because she can't get a job, and she goes out clubbing every night and pukes in the street at night and comes home 5 in the morning in a taxi. And in the morning she goes online and twitters and poses in her underwear like Sean Penn's pathetic daughter. I mean, ask her to tell you one scientific fact she couldn't do it. If I asked you, if I told you that most of the people are going through a mass hysteria on the issue of gluten and on global disruption, whatever they call it today, I wouldn't be lying to you. I could give you the simplest proofs, and I've tried to do it today. I doubt that it fell on deaf ears amongst those who are rational. But I would think that those of you who are locked into your doxies didn't listen to what I said to you. It wasn't my opinion. A researcher who provided key evidence of non-celiac disease gluten sensitivity recently published follow-up papers that show the opposite is true. And it was published in a major journal called Gastroenterology. It came out last year. And it turned out that there is no gluten sensitivity in people who don't have celiac disease. So they took gluten-sensitive patients and they tested them. And what they did was they controlled their diet. But they gave them tricks. They gave them high-gluten, low-gluten, and no-gluten diets, but they didn't know what they were eating. Did you hear? And in the end, all of the treatment diets, even the placebo diet, caused the gluten maniacs pain, bloating, nausea, and gas to a similar degree. And it did not matter if the diet contained gluten, boys and girls. That's why the First Lady likes pizza. She's not stupid. Don't leave any money on the table. Don't leave any money on the table. Give me that pizza. All right. So that's one of the topics. And if I talked about these topics in a more scientific manner, the show would go into the toilet. So I have to do it in a comedic sense. And I try to do it by being comedic in the political arena to the best I can. Right now I'm a smashing headache because I didn't eat a big enough breakfast. I ate only a tomato sliced with an avocado on a piece of pita bread. I'm starving to death. I sent my assistant out for a sandwich 40 minutes ago, and it isn't here. I guarantee you when it arrives, it'll have aioli sauce, and I'll have to throw it in the garbage and eat something. I mean, this is unbelievable. WABC Susan, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi. I just wanted to tell you, I find you so reassuring and a pocket of rationality. You know, a couple of months ago, you mentioned something that you went on the air because you felt that people feel alone and you felt that you could form a kind of bond with them. And I will say, socially, I don't feel alone. But politically, rationally, I often feel very, very isolated.
Well, you live in Manhattan. Of course, you're surrounded by drug-addicted Prozac maniac leftists who, no matter what you tell them, they're not going to believe a word you say. Rush calls them low-information voters. They're far beyond that. They're not just low-information voters. They're much more dangerous than that.
They're very dangerous. And
Susan, you want to say something funny? Many of them are rich and successful, but they have a blind spot a mile wide. They're not open to discussion.
Not at all. Not at all. And Okay, I'll put the cards on the table. I happen to be Jewish, okay? And so Abe Foxman comes out with this big, I'm sure, wildly expensive survey to say that, whoa, there's anti-Semitism in the world. We needed to know this. This was
Come on, Abe. That's his business. His job is to stir up fear again for fundraising.
Why aren't they? I mean, and the fact that they're not taking seriously and the world isn't taking seriously.
Wait, did Abe Foxman ever say a word about Islamic terrorism? Who's he implying the anti-Semites are? White guys with crosses?
That's exactly where I was going, that they never take up the point of Islamic attacks on Christianity.
Abe Foxman is a professional agitator, in my opinion. And he doesn't speak for me, let me tell you that. And I'm sick of the professional agitators, no matter where they come from.
But I'm almost looking for help from you. Like, how can I get to these people? How can, you know, I finally, I was in a synagogue, and at the end of the synagogue, they start singing Salam. And I stood up, and I said, why are you singing Salam? Do you think they're singing Salam in Saudi Arabia?
What, are you kidding me? What, they started to sing an Arabic Salam to show how good they were?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Oh, I could say a few things right now, but it would cost me my radio career.
I know, but but I don't know where to go. I mean, so I try to become educated. I read Front Page Magazine. I think David Horowitz is great. I think Caroline Glick is great. I send money to Pam Geller. I try to do what I can do, but I feel like I'm a speck, an utter speck.
Susan, it's a tough battle. It's a very tough battle, and I don't have an immediate answer for you. I find that people are afraid to speak the truth more than anything else, even though they make believe they actually believe a lot of that rubbish. They are afraid to talk about Islamic terrorism. It's safe to attack a Christian white male who wears a cross because they're not going to get hurt by doing it. But they may get hurt if they talk about Islamic terrorism. Do you understand that? At the end of the day, it's cowardice at the end of the day. So you have to understand that. And I'll tell you something else, Susan. Here's the most important thing I can tell you on this issue of rational thought and knowing how the world really is as opposed to how they say it is. You have to be willing to give up your friends, even family members, and even your congregation or synagogue if you can't fit in. You're never going to change them. And you have to learn to walk alone, and you, as I used to say, march to a different drummer. There's no way to change them. You have to be able to march to a different drummer and be the individual that you are. And that's the best I could say to you. You're not going to change them. They're going to read the book? If I told you that when my book comes out, Stop the Coming Civil War, in October, and I say to you, buy the book, take it to church, take it to synagogue, take it to work, put it on your desk, hold it next to you on the subway, and you can change people's minds, I wouldn't be lying to you. But you have to be willing to take the heat that comes with that. My little billboards are my books. Whether it was trickle-up poverty or trickle-down tyranny, these were billboards meant to change the minds of people, and maybe some minds were changed. If a book sold a few hundred thousand, so people were touched by it. And I can do a daily radio show, and maybe it affects people. Maybe the guy in the middle listens to me and says, you know, he's right. And if he's right about this, maybe he's right about that. So you get the picture. You can do it a little bit at a time. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. We're about to perform an experiment on air that has never before been done in radio. I've been talking about the myth of the gluten mania, or the gluten mania myth, and I'm about to perform an experiment right before your ears. I have just received a sandwich with a crisp ciabatta roll, and I'm going to bite into it. You're going to hear me biting into the roll. I will eat a gluten-rich piece of bread, and you will then listen to the show over the next half hour and see if there's any damaging effect on my thinking or speaking. So hold on now. Here we go. I'll count down now. This is a very, very serious event. I'm about to eat a gluten-rich roll. Here comes the bite. Here we go. That's good. Now, it's very good. Now, there's nothing toxic within two pieces of bread. There is turkey. There is some kind of celery or whatever. There's no mustard, no mayonnaise. There's just a very, very suspect crispy ciabatta roll that, of course, it's been used in Italy for centuries and never killed anyone. All the kids who went to Harvard are convinced that if they took one bite of a ciabatta roll, they would die the next day. It doesn't stop them from using various and sundry drugs at night. But the ciabatta roll is the worst enemy in their mind. Bread is the worst enemy. Well, no, I don't eat that. Then at night they're doing mainlining heroin. But in the morning they're eating a gluten-free breakfast that the mother cooks for them. And they're looking for a position online. They're networking online. All right, I've done my parody. It's enough already. I think I'll read my horoscope on the New York Post. It's the only reason I can go on there. It's gotten so bad. What have they done to this newspaper? Every day there's another picture of an ugly girl who's the daughter of an actress or an actor in her underwear. Can somebody please try to tell Alec Baldwin that his daughter shouldn't appear semi-nude and that Sean Penn's daughter would be better off as a school teacher in Mississippi than showing off in her underwear? What are they doing? What kind of mothers and fathers would encourage a daughter? She's not even built that well, to be honest. Okay, you got the picture. Barbecue Bummers grilling season. This is the best that Murdoch can produce. Barbecue Bummers grilling season kicks off to sticker shock and shortages. Dentist license suspended after patient dies having 20 teeth extracted. Oh my God. Who would have 20 teeth extracted? What did it mean, sticker shock? It went up, the price of beef? Blame it on Obama. Well, you can blame the price of beef going up on Obama. Why? Why? For not doing enough about global warming. Had Obama only controlled global warming by waving his wand through executive orders, that hamburger would have been cheaper.
Savage.
It is a Savage Nation back with you across America, and I'm daring to do it again. I did something never before tried in the history of talk radio. 6 minutes and 30 seconds into the gluten bread that I ate, there are no known side effects. It's been 6 minutes and 40 seconds, and there's been no effect yet. And so I must continue my scientific experiment. I'm about to take a second bite of a fresh, crisp ciabatta roll, no doubt made with gluten-rich wheat. Hold on now. Let's see what happens. This could do it. This could be the trick that throws me into the mental hospital. And here we go again. Listen carefully. That's the sound of me crunching a gluten-rich roll. Mmm. I mean, we know it tastes good, but we know it's poisonous. Because all the science is in. See, all the science is in on gluten sensitivity. And we know that anyone who opposes it is being funded by the Koch brothers and is working for Monsanto. And so, therefore, don't believe a word I'm telling you. Believe Governor Brown that humanity is on a collision course with nature. Believe John Ketchup Kerry that climate change is real and all the science is in. So we're living through mass hysteria right now, and I feel that my job is to be as rational as I can on a regular basis. Now, you realize I grew up in an age of rationality where I was raised on Plato, Aristotle, and Aristotelian logic. That was the essence of Western civilization or Western teaching. And you probably will hear shortly that don't give me that reason garbage. That's a European's trick. If I feel it, it's real. If I tweet it, it's real. I tweet, therefore I am. We have gone from, I think, Descartes. You know what I'm saying? If I tweet, therefore I am. That's all that matters, not whether it's right or wrong. There's no such thing as right and wrong to those who tweet naked. It doesn't matter how you think, what you think of it. We're living in a topsy-turvy Alice in Wonderland world. So, therefore, I'm a lone ranger here with rationality. That's what I'm trying to do, is bring rational thought to radio. I'm not the only one doing it. Others do it on a daily basis. God bless them. But it's a losing proposition with the masses of idiots out there. Look at which television shows are the most popular. Tell me they're based on rational thought? No, okay, so they're entertainment. But even with an entertainment, I like dramas, for example. I search movies at night. It gives you a choice, comedy, this, action. I go to drama. I've always liked dramas. So You would think even a drama has to have a rational basis for it, or there's no drama to it. In other words, a stage play has to have a let's say it's a dramatic stage play. There has to be a rational, a reason behind the character saying something or doing something. As Chekhov wrote, if you introduce a gun in the first act, it has to be used by the third act. I'm giving you some technique. But there has to be some rationale for their behavior. I've written two successful novels because my character, Jack Hatfield, you have to rationally believe he could stop Islamic fanatics from blowing up the Golden Gate Bridge. First, you have to understand that there are Islamic fanatics who did cause the damage on 9/11. It was not caused by spontaneous combustion of the piers of the buildings. They didn't go down because a group of Irish nuns wheeled in there and blew it up. The 9/11 towers didn't go down because rabbis blew it up. It was blown up by 19 Islamic terrorists. Okay, and why do I say it? So you know. Otherwise, you're going to relive it again. And we are going to relive it again because we have a bunch of morons running the country. They look at in every direction for terrorism and potential terrorists except where it might come from. So they suspect returning American military veterans, number one on their list. Those who oppose Obama on Obamacare, they're on a terror watch list. Those who oppose abortion, terror watch list. You understand what we're living through here? It's a pogrom against rationality and a pogrom against civility and a pogrom against a patriotism. That's what we're living through. But you don't understand it because you're brainwashed. You're living through a mass hysteria. How this ends, I don't know. My study of dictatorships is that they all collapse. Every dictator eventually gets found out and thrown out and arrested. This one, the Teflon Don, has gotten away with it from day one because it's a peculiar situation. He is a man with African heritage, and as a result, because of the 40 years of brainwashing and sensitivity to the issues of race, people have been willing to look the other way and give him a second, a third, a fourth, a fifth, an nth degree chance, another chance. They're giving him another chance to prove he's not as incompetent as he obviously is, to prove that he's not as demonic as he obviously is, to prove that he's not as divisive as he obviously is. And so they look the other way. How long can you keep looking the other way when you have 11 million people on disability? Go, when you buy hamburger this weekend, take a look at the prices for steak and hamburger. Right? Sam, well, what does that have to do with anything? Bill Clinton removed food and I believe fuel from the cost of living index. That was his way of cooking the books. Bill Clinton, you know, there used to be a cost of living index. Inflation was tied to the cost of goods, which used to include the cost of food and the cost of fuel. But Bill Clinton, being the honest man that he is, in order to rig the books and run a double set of books, eliminated food and fuel from the inflation index. So we've been living with runaway inflation for a long period of time now, which is why your dollar is worth less. And under Obama, if you included food and fuel, we would have runaway inflation in the United States of America right now. I wrote about this in Trickle Down Tyranny. Many of you read that. You said, well, the guy's right. So your hamburger now is what, $6 a pound, 10% fat is $10 a pound, steak is through the roof. Why? Because it's inflation. You can't produce cattle and you can't make a profit unless you're charging these prices. You can only blame Monsanto if you're an idiot and you believe that global warming is a defined science that everyone knows is true. Rich on WABC in Connecticut, listen to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Savage, I knew you'd put it all together by the end of your program. You know, it all is emotion. It has nothing to do with reason. I don't know how you persevere and keep talking reason to these people. I live with these people. They're broken. They got broken hearts, broken families. Their daddies didn't show them not to be afraid and how you do life. I'm telling you, the only thing that's going to put this together, and you're a historian, is another war that'll drive us to our knees, or maybe, God willing, the Republican Party may put together a candidate as a family. You know, where we got our morals and values.
Obama is shrinking the number of men in the military, say men and women if you wish, to a level that of 1940, at a time when Russia and China are building their militaries. He's shrinking it. Why is he doing that?
He's doing that so he thinks, I'm telling you, I don't want to put too much into what he's thinking because he's a maniac, but I'll just say that he thinks he's repositioning America to fit in properly in his world vision. But I've got to tell you something, Zach, he's not going anywhere. He's living in Washington, D.C., being a prime minister. The media's not going to let him go, and these people delusional, care. They honestly think he cares about them.
So yeah, well, that's right. They're brainwashed by his charm, offensive, and by his silk-smooth delivery. And they're not interested in what you may tell them. I get it. And you asked a key question, how do I do it? It's very hard. It's getting difficult, Rich. I'll be honest, it's very hard to get up every day and look at this and try to blow the whistle on what they're doing. But that's what we're paid to do. So I lighten it up with stories about food, and today I did gluten. But behind it is a very, very sad story of a mass hysteria, unlike any I've ever seen in my life, Rich. Ever. I've never seen a president as Teflon as he is in my life. And it's only because of the sensitivities to the issues I mentioned earlier. And you know what they are, correct?
We are a broken people who don't care about the Constitution. They don't care about how many soldiers died for their rights. These people are frightened, and they'll let anybody guide them. They want something they can, even if they have to recreate reality, they have to have something that they can trust, and they really think they can trust him.
All right, I hear you. I hear you, but I don't want to turn this into a bunch of, you know, old guys complaining about the world. Sometimes I listen to talk radio here. All I hear is complaining. And I don't want to turn into just a complainer, because that's what makes us, marginalizes us. I'm not going to complain. We know what the guy is. We know what his administration is. I played their own speeches. I hung them by their own petards by showing them to be race baiters, let's put it in a nice way. Demagogue would be another term for them, where every speech is about race. Every speech is about class warfare or race warfare because their policies have failed. Their incompetence is showing. 855-407-2822. WJR in Detroit. Welcome. What's on your mind?
Yeah, thank you. I've got a couple points. Dinesh D'Souza's high crimes and campaign finance is just a speck on a pinhead compared to Harry Reid's finance crimes in Las Vegas and other crimes.
Absolutely correct. How about Harry Reid changing the name of his granddaughter to give her a gift? That should have been indictable.
Yeah, you're right, Michael. Can I make another point?
Please, I'm eating a sandwich, sure.
Okay, great. I went to school in the 60s, and there was a group called the Students for a Democratic Society set up.
Oh, the SDS, all yeah. Radicals. They're running the country.
Set up shop in our commons, and at that time, and William Ayers, you know, the great friend of Obama, who's not a friend and not a neighbor, but we ran him out of our commons. I mean, physically ran him out of our commons.
Which school did you go to?
Morehead State, University of Minnesota, Morehead State.
Yeah, the SDS was filled with the most foaming radical women and men I've ever met in my life. They were insane then.
And they were passing out all kinds of negative pamphlets on our armed services and our soldiers and everything, on every institution we had. And you could only take so much. So we ran them out, and today we'd be put in jail. But I think that the...
They're running the country today, Walt. The SDS, potheads, lunatics, anti-American, anti-military, anti-family, anti-church, anti-mother, anti-father, lunatics are now running the country.
Well, I think, you know, those 60 radicals back then grew up and they're now running our country. And I think what they're in the process of doing is restocking their radical agenda with students. It seems to be working, but I think they're going to get caught in their own mousetrap, Michael. And
yes, it's an intergenerational left-wing movement. Thank you for the call. I should apologize for crunching on air, but I've conducted my experiment now for 20 straight minutes. I have devoured 1.5 portions of this two-part sandwich. I have eaten approximately 3/4 of an entire ciabatta roll with turkey and some vegetables. And after approximately 17 minutes and 41 seconds, I can report that there are no noticeable side effects from the gluten that I have consumed. I will take a break, and during the break, I will finish the roll. I will finish the entire dose of gluten that I've decided to consume. It's an entire roll, which is a big dose of gluten in a short period of time. And we will see if it affects my thinking or my speaking when I return on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. And we've conducted a first in experiments. I've been on quite a roll for the last 30 minutes in radio. And here's the last bite of the roll. Thus far, aside from a slight sense of feeling good, from my blood sugar coming back up, I see no negative side effects from the gluten dose that I've taken. Here's the last bite. Well, maybe this will do it. This could be the, you know, it's sort of like the last bite could do it. Let's see. I'll let you know shortly if the roll containing gluten-rich wheat destroys my insights or ability to speak. But in all seriousness, we're on the brink of a war, world war, because of Obama's incompetence and lunacy and the people surrounding him, the SDS girls. And here we are. Do you know what we did? John McCain was the front man in masterminding the coup in February against the democratically elected government in Kiev. We did it. And that was because Obama's minions wanted to seize Russia's historic warm water naval base in Crimea, and it failed. They were caught. Kerry and company, Hillary Clinton and others, were trying to steal Russia's legitimate warm water naval base in Crimea. What did you expect Putin to do? They defended themselves. Were they going to roll over to a bunch of college girls who are just left-wing fanatics? And now what's happened? NATO wanted to move troops into Ukraine, and Putin said, no, I need a buffer zone. And then there were U.S.-orchestrated attacks on ethnic Russians in Ukraine. And they were trying to provoke Putin into a war. They wanted him to come to the aid of the Russians who were being attacked because they wanted him as the pariah, the new Hitler. Remember Hillary Clinton, the extremist that she is? She compared him to Hitler. She is not to be trusted as president. She's very dangerous. But what has Putin done instead? He didn't go to war, did he? He didn't take the bait that Hillary Clinton put out, did he? He's seeking a deal with Washington and the EU. He withdrew troops from the Ukrainian border. He urged ethnic Russians in eastern Ukraine to abandon last weekend's referendum. So he's a peacemaker. But our administration are filled with very, very dangerous provocateurs on every level. In America, they try to provoke the masses of non-whites against the whites. And in not so subtle ways, by the way, every speech is not very subtle. Or they try to provoke people who have little to attack those who have more. They call them the rich, but you know the rich are insulated from these attacks. You know that Obama's golf buddies are not going to be affected by the mayhem. You know that Obama's donors wouldn't be affected by the mayhem. They live in bulletproof lives. So it's aimed at the middle class. You have to understand that the SDS radicals who are running this country, Obama included, have always had their desire to shrink and destroy the bourgeoisie, which is the middle class. The rich were never their targeted enemy. They use the rich. They don't use the poor. They use the rich, and they use the poor to vote for them. But they hate the middle class, and that's why they targeted the middle class. Well, that's it. You can blame the gluten, but that's one man's opinion, the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
It is The Savage Nation. Welcome to hour number tres. Three minutes in one. So I start the day, I go on to the Drudge Report. I see an article, middle school cancels honors night because it's too exclusive. Citing concerns about the exclusive nature of the annual honors night at a middle school, school officials have decided to scrap the tradition. The notice was sent to parents over the weekend in an email signed by school principal Alexis Meyer and assistant principal Dan Seeger. The email stated, quote, "Members of the school community have long expressed concerns related to the exclusive nature of Honors Night." So they're going to have recognition ceremonies during team-based ceremonies because, quote, "it will afford us the opportunity to celebrate the individual and collective success of all students and their effort, progress, and excellence. This, my friends, is the end line of idiocy and left-wing fanaticism. Participation trophies for all. Honors Night canceled because it's too exclusive. In other words, there were too many white kids on the stage winning the awards because they worked harder. You get it? And so the lunatics who are running the asylum have said now we'll have no honors at all. I think if this keeps up in a few years, the kids who do well will probably be punished. In fact, the better they do, the more they will be punished and ostracized. In fact, the smart kids may be forced to wear a dunce cap by principals like Dan Seeger and school principal Alexis Meyer. Because obviously they got there through racism. And stupidity is now excellence. This is, of course, bringing everyone down to the lowest common denominator. This is what Orwell warned us about in his book, Animal Farm. War is peace, freedom is slavery, ignorance is strength. We are living through a complete and total revolution under this character, the Teflon Don in the White House. Do you understand what I just said to you? This is right out of Animal Farm. War is peace, freedom is slavery, ignorance is strength. And if your son or daughter gets an A, they will be ostracized by the ignorant fools, not only in the classroom, but in the administration. And so therefore, gay is straight, straight is gay. Marriage is between a dog and a man. Marriage is between a man and a man. Marriage is between a woman and a woman. Marriage is between you and a fire hydrant. Why is this happening so rapidly? Why is the country melting down and collapsing like a house of cards? Well, you can pretty much know because we have a clown in the White House with no experience as a senator whatsoever, who is totally unqualified to be president at any speed, as evidenced by the results of his policies. We have a new Cold War. The Arab world is in flames. The economy is in the toilet bowl. So what would you say that is? Competence? And because the media doesn't say it's incompetence, instead they keep going along with the big lie. The king has no clothes. He's great. He's a genius. He's wonderful. Therefore, everything is possible. So that's why this is happening. And of course, if you don't agree with me, it's because you probably are one of those who could never get an honor in a school. You're probably one of those who never won an honor and resented those who did. As they say, there's a lot of resentment in a society where a person has more than you do. And in a communist society, what they do is they stir up those have-nots against the haves. And they try to provoke you into a sort of revolution. That's what Obama's been doing to you. Now they cancel Honors Night because it's too exclusive. Where will this end? Well, round and round it goes, boys and girls. Where it ends, nobody knows. I have an idea where it ends. Top Obama aide says more executive orders to come. If he's not stopped, he will escalate his behavior. He'll keep going on slow executive orders. And if he's not stopped, like the monomaniac and the egomaniac and the narcissist and the petty dictator that he currently is, he will get crazier as the years go on. But we don't have an opposition party to stop him. I don't hear anything from John Clink Boehner saying enough is enough. You're bypassing Congress. We're not going to put up with it. We're going to impeach you. You're going to pick up the pace in executive actions, then you've got to stop the man. If the man is not faithful to the laws of the United States, if he's not faithful to the Constitution, if Obama continues to kick the Constitution in the teeth, he has to be impeached. That will stop him as sure as I'm sitting here. It will stop his agenda dead cold. But, Boehner's not the man to do it. He certainly isn't the man to do it. We know that. Which is why in the last hour I chose to spend the time talking about the myth of gluten-free diets. And I showed you that the scientists who originally blew the whistle on gluten with so-called key evidence for gluten sensitivity, they did a new study which proved definitively that it doesn't exist at all. There is no gluten sensitivity in non-celiac diseased individuals. It's all a mythology, a mass hysteria. And so the mass hysteria of food fanaticism or food fascism, which I named it in 1993 in my book, The Skeptical Nutritionist, which was published in 93, would you believe it? Before you were even born, when you still didn't even get a milk bottle. I wrote a book called The Skeptical Nutritionist. But now you're an expert in everything. Oh, yeah. You went to a great university. You know everything. And you also know that anyone who opposes Obama is fill in the blank. A, a racist. B, an elitist. C, works for Monsanto. D, works for the Koch brothers. E, anything you'd like, and fill that in. Those are the reasons we oppose him. Not because of his inability to effectively lead the nation and the world. No, it's all because of the other reasons. And so the world goes on and on and on and on. Goes on and on and on. The freight train is just rolling down the tracks. The freight train called Obama is speeding down the tracks, and there's no brakeman in sight. But you're living in a utopia, a perfect utopia. You can stay at home until age 26 and get Obamacare. You can sleep till, let's say, 2 in the afternoon, then get up about 3. Go and have your mother get you a breakfast. Go online for a while, say you're networking, looking for a position. And then you can go out clubbing at night till 3 in the morning. You can use all sorts of recreational drugs because they're healthier for you than milk is. Hey, we all know that gluten and milk are far more dangerous than cocaine. Probably even heroin. I mean, I would think that milk is more deadly when you think about it. To the average American college graduate, they would think milk and gluten are more dangerous than, let's say, not shooting up, but they know needles are, let's say, snorting heroin. That's nothing. I mean, we all did it at college, right? Hey, what the heck? It's cool. It's a third world thing to use that brown heroin that way. It's cool. It's a cool thing. It's a third world thing. Only the uptight elitists are afraid of that drug. They drink. They brought up drinking milk and eating white bread, so what do they know? Disabled law students settle suit over tests. Are you ready for this one? Because here it comes. This I'm not making up. In a nationwide settlement of a San Francisco lawsuit, the administrator of the admissions test for prospective law students agreed Tuesday to stop notifying schools that a test taker has disabilities and to ease its restrictions for accommodating disabled students. The settlement also includes $6.73 million for 6,300 disabled students who have applied for extra time for the exam and other accommodations over the past 5 years. Another $2 million will go to individual students and the state and federal governments which took part in the suit. Do you understand what this is? Do you know how this works? Do you understand what this is? According to disability laws, you need accommodation for students with documented physical or mental impairments that affect the test-taking ability. So if they're just stupid and they can't take a test because they're moronic, that's considered a disability now. Now, they say it doesn't necessarily reflect a lesser ability just because they read backwards, and it won't affect their ability to study or practice law. But let me ask you something. Who would you choose for a lawyer, a guy who was summa cum laude at Harvard or Yale in the law school and was all the way through, heavy-duty winner, or would you pick one of these people? So this is the story. Now, until now, the council flagged disabled student scores because everyone knew in the law business that they were tested under non-standard conditions and given an opportunity that no one else was given, and that their scores should not be compared to others. But that wasn't good enough that they already... See, this is how it works. First you give them a hand, then they want the arm, then you give them an arm, they want the leg, then you give them the arm, then you give them the leg, and they want you. So disability rights gangsters said that flagging discourages disabled applicants from asking for accommodations. And now we're at this point. So what's going to happen next when they can't pass the bar exam? What will happen next, they'll say the bar exam is, I don't know, racist, sexist, whatever, homophobic. I don't know what they'll say. And they'll eliminate the bar exam entirely. You'll have no standards. So we'll be back to where we were in the 1800s in America, where anybody could practice law. It's already almost true that anybody could practice law. Take a look at your level of lawyers. But if you don't want any bar exams, that's where we're moving. And then they'll move on to the medical exams, the MCATs. Well, that's really elitist to require a child to prove that he can... You know, read, write, and add. And so you should have no exam. And also, anybody could become a doctor, as it was in the 1700s. And then we'll go back to not using any antiseptics because somehow that's too first world. And then you'll have doctors wearing bloody smocks who can't read or write English. And anyone who says, I want a doctor who speaks English, will be thrown out of the hospital under Obamacare. because they'll be seen as racist or something or other. I don't know, nationalist. That could be a new crime. Is that if you ask for a doctor without blood on his smock, with wearing gloves, who can speak English, you'll be considered somehow have insulted the doctor. At least that's one man's opinion. Now, if you have a different opinion, I pity you. I'd like to know who the lawyers were for this lawsuit. I only wish upon the families of these lawyers unto the third generation that God punishes all of them for doing this to the society. I really do. I wish to God that unto the third generation, lawyers like this who take on these kinds of cases and destroy standards in this country, I only wish to God that they spend all the money that they steal on doctors. They should only spend every dollar that they steal from companies that build legitimate products on doctors for the rest of their lives. That's all I wish. It's an old curse from my background. Ana Caballero, Secretary of California's Business, Consumer Services, and Housing Agency, disagrees, though. Ana Caballero said, "This settlement ensures fairness and levels the playing field for persons with disabilities to enter the legal profession." Yes, Ana. Yes, Ana, we salute you. Yes, Ana, you're right. There should be no standards, Ana. I'll be right back. It's the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. It is the Savage Nation. Now I want to go back to why is Michelle going to a high school in Topeka, Kansas, to talk about Brown versus Board of Education from 1954. Why Topeka? And why high school students? Why would she not speak at a college? Well, for one, someone in the college audience might actually boo her. That's number one. High school students are stupid. They, by and large, don't know anything. Michelle Obama, Timothy Geithner, John Kerry, Hillary Clinton, and others, they're all in the same message, trying to stir up the masses to cause a revolution in the country. And I ask myself, why would Michelle Obama go to a largely African-American student body in a high school in Topeka, Kansas, and talk about coming here in chains, her ancestors, or the Brown versus Board of Education again, day in and day out? We have another one. You're not going to believe this one. Listen to clip number two from the First Lady.
We know that today in America, too many folks are still stopped on the street because of the color of their skin.
Listen to this.
Or they're made to feel unwelcome because of where they come from, or they're bullied because of who they love.
It's a party of gays, immigrants, and I guess African Americans. So she's telling white people, we don't need your vote. Telling you, don't vote for me unless you're a brainwashed moron who wants to be marginalized by society, because that's what we're trying to do. Now, if you're that stupid because you've been brainwashed, I can't help you. But there's another reason, and it's more sinister, and it frightens me. Do you know who the Khmer Rouge were? Fast forward to America. We have a naive, brainwashed man, an unknown senator, who rarely appeared in the Senate, who was brainwashed very young to hate the society as at large, a man who was brainwashed to come before the people and hoodwink the people, selling them equality and fairness by giving them one speech after another about inequality and unfairness. And while doing so, continue to marginalize only one segment of the population, one and only one. They call them the rich, or they call them this, or they call them that. But every speech tells you who they're really targeting. And it's very worrisome, and that's why I have to play for these speeches for you. What if I tell you I'm concerned that our mild-mannered constitutional professor, Barack Obama, in my opinion, is like Pol Pot? Oh, I don't mean there's death camps, and I don't mean that he's going to do that to us. Oh, no, I don't mean that at all. Let's modify everything I just said. Oh, I'm not concerned about the coming civil war. I'm not concerned about every word out of his mouth, her mouth, their mouth. Every word out of their mouth is an attempt to stir up the uneducated dolts in this society to riot and to revolt against whom? Just exactly whom? Who does Nancy Pelosi mean when she says go out and be a disruptor? Did you hear her? She comes in and pollutes my alma mater with her insanity and her hateful rhetoric, and again marginalizes the greatness of the University of California at Berkeley by referring back to a marginal loser from the 1960s who nobody remembers. Who wrote that speech for that lame brain Nancy Pelosi? She tells them to go out and be disruptors. Does she mean they should go to Pacific Heights and disrupt her personal life? I hope not. Whose life should they disrupt, Nancy Pelosi? Just whose life do you mean? Why don't you give out a map, a Google map of whose houses you want your masses of Occupy Movement communists to go bother, Nancy, so we'll know exactly what you're talking about. You certainly don't want them outside Broadway on Pacific Heights. You don't want them outside the Getty's house. You don't want them outside the Pelosi house. You got Secret Service out there. You need it, right? Because you're a senator. But what about those of us who don't have Secret Service? Who are you telling them to disrupt, Nancy Pelosi? And why would a person of this power do such a thing? Why would Michelle Obama, one of the most, well, the most powerful woman in the world, certainly more powerful than Hillary Clinton, more powerful than a speeding bullet, a woman who has at her disposal whole armies, they can level a nation and get away with it. They can flood America with non-citizens and tell you that they have more rights than you do. And they can tell you you're a racist if you object to it. The most powerful woman in the world goes back and talks about her ancestors coming here in chains. Tells us that Brown versus Board of Education happened to her just yesterday. What are they trying to do? I'm trying to warn you about something. These Khmer Rouge were communists in the beginning. They talked about fairness. They subjected Cambodia to a radical social reform process. And they said they just wanted an agrarian-based communist society. They attacked capitalists in particular. Listen carefully. The Khmer Rouge, which wound up killing 2 million of their own country.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
A new study came out that said there's been no global warming at all for 17 years and 9 months. None whatsoever. Did you hear that? Global temperature update, no global warming at all for 17 years and 9 months. Recent extreme weather, it's concluded, cannot be blamed on global warming because there has not been any global warming. Although Jerry Brown is one of the hysterics who is convinced that man is destroying the earth and modifying the climate, it just shows you that he is another climate hysteric. He's going to a conference today in Sacramento run by the University of California, of which I'm an alumnus. And instead of inviting any climate skeptics to debate it, it's all one-sided. That's not science. That's politics. So why is it that the entire political establishment on the left is so wed to this idea that man is destroying the environment? Because it's a way of raising taxes, controlling industry. In other words, it's a way to hobble everybody and turn them into more of a victim than they already are. You get it? That's why they're so tied into the system of the man-made global warming. In California, we had wildfires in San Diego, and everyone knows it was started by an illegal alien. Everybody knows that. He set the fire on purpose. And yet Governor Brown goes on and says it's caused by man. Well, of course it was caused by man, a man from another nation who didn't even belong here. So instead of telling you the illegals are starting fires in the woods, whatever they're doing it for, he's telling you that you did it. According to the RSS satellite data, the global warming trend in the last 17 years, 9 months since August 1996 is ZERO. I don't have to read you the data anymore. But what bothers me as a trained scientist is that the liars on the other side say that all the science is in and everyone agrees. That's rubbish. It's the mark of politics and brainwashing, not of science. Of course, we can go back to the first story. Obama says he's mad as hell about the VA scandal. Well, vets, I'm asking you again. I'm asking you again. Do you remember what he did to you during the government shutdown? Do you remember that he put police in front of the VA, the World War II Memorial? And why did he do that? It was to punish veterans, to punish the families and the men who defended our country from the World War II Memorial visitation. At the same time, he permitted non-citizens, illegal aliens, to mess up the Capitol Mall to protest U.S. immigration laws. He hates veterans. He hates veterans, and frankly, this is only, you know, one in a long series of scandals. He's not mad as hell. He's mad that it became a scandal. He's mad that his underlings let it get out of hand. He's mad that the double set of books got discovered. I've lived through a lot in my lifetime, but I've never seen the level of mass hysteria that I see today embracing such foolishness as masses of individuals thinking that they're sensitive to gluten and going on very costly, difficult to find gluten-free diets. Morons who don't know the first thing about science. They couldn't tell you the difference between carbon and oxygen, but they're convinced carbon is an enemy and that the man is causing global warming, another mass hysteria. And the people are stupider now. The more they have devices, The more they're on the internet, the more they Twitter, the dumber they are. The higher the rate of Twittering, the stupider the person. The higher the rate of Twittering, the dumber the individual. Nothing. Morons. They come out of college, nothing. They learn nothing. All they learn is that capitalism is bad, mommy and daddy are evil, the Christian church is worse than Hitler, and that anyone who makes a living is a fascist. Morons, idiots, brainwashed in our universities. And that's why I want to talk about gluten instead. Do you have a gluten nut in your family? Let me explain this. A new study came out. You're not going to believe it. How long have I told you? Remember, I'm the only member of the major American media, certainly amongst talk show hosts, who knows anything about nutrition, vitamins, health. None of them know anything about it. Most of them are either lawyers or high school dropouts or golfers or whatever. God bless them. They know nothing about medicine and nutrition. I'm the only one who does. Well, how long have I told you that this idiocy about gluten sensitivity is a complete hysteria? It's mass hysteria. Now, listen to me carefully. It's very important, you gluten maniacs. Listen carefully. Let's go all the way back in time. Bread has been known as the staff of life from the beginning of recorded history. Bread, the staff of life. Jesus, give us this day our daily bread. But now you wake up and you've reinvented marriage, you've reinvented the weather. Now you're going to reinvent wheat and tell yourself that wheat is poisoning you because you're brainwashed. You have no capacity for reason. Let me prove it to you. The researcher who first provided key evidence of gluten sensitivity, remember who I'm talking about now. He's not a Republican. Don't already write him off as an oil magnate who works for the Koch brothers. The researcher who provided key evidence of non-celiac disease gluten sensitivity just published a follow-up study that shows the opposite. The first follow-up paper came out last year in the journal Gastroenterology. And what does it say? It says that there is no non-celiac gluten sensitivity. He was mistaken. And he did a very serious study on it. You don't even know what gluten is, but you're sure that you're better when you don't have it, right? You've proven it to yourself. In fact, when you go to a restaurant to show how kosher you are, you tell the waiter that you're a gluten-free personality and you need a special menu. After all, what you've done here is just try to separate yourself as an elitist and show everyone else what barbarians they are by eating disgusting gluten-filled foods. Now, most of you who claim that you're gluten-free should understand that you're not gluten-sensitive. You're just part of the brainwashed masses. The fact of the matter is gluten is now a huge industry. 30% of the morons in America who vote for Obama and believe he's a good guy who's being attacked by recalcitrant Republicans, the same idiots, want to eat less gluten. And sales of gluten-free products are estimated to hit $15 billion by 2016. Gluten, my friends, is a protein found in wheat, barley, and other grains. It's what gives bread its chewiness. In fact, if you pick up certain pasta products, it says gluten-rich wheat. Why would they make pasta with gluten-rich wheat so that the pasta doesn't disintegrate in the cooking pot? By the way, it's also used as a meat substitute. If you ever had wheat meat, seitan, or mock duck at a Thai restaurant, that's gluten. Now, the experts tell us that only 1% of Americans, about 3 million people, actually suffer from celiac disease. And yet 18% of the morons in America, in the adult population, now demand gluten-free foods. The fact of the matter is, I've told you that common sense would dictate that gluten is not toxic for most people except those with real celiac disease. So what did the scientist who first blew the whistle in a mistaken way to show that there was gluten sensitivity among non-celiacs, what did he do? He did a very important study. He tested many people. And I'm not going to give you all the details because you'll get lost in the shuffle. But here's the thing to remember. He put subjects, both controls and subjects, on high gluten, low gluten, and no gluten diets, meaning placebo diets. And the subjects didn't even know which diet that they were on at any given time. He switched them around from high gluten, low gluten, and no gluten. And in the end, all of the treatment diets, even the placebo diet, caused pain, bloating, nausea, and gas to a similar degree. And it didn't matter if the diet contained gluten or it didn't. So what did he conclude? He said this is a nocebo effect. The self-diagnosed gluten-sensitive patients expected to feel worse on the study diets, so they felt worse on the diets. Do you understand that? So go ahead. Smell your bread. Smell the roses. Stop being a brainwashed individual in the United States of America. I tell you what we'll do. Guys, play the montage of the political commencement speeches from the weekend right now. Let's do it right now. And we'll talk about the why is the administration stirring up racial enmity in America. Let's listen to that now.
You all take the diversity you're surrounded by for granted. You probably don't even notice it. And that's understandable given the country you have grown up in.
Our founders were successful disruptors of the then status quo. Being called a disruptor, in my view, is a very high compliment.
If we don't do more to coordinate an attack on extreme poverty, provide education, opportunity, and jobs, we invite instability, and I promise you, radical extremism is all too ready to fill the vacuum left behind.
How well you do in life today, how good your education is, how good your health care is, depends too much on the color of your skin or how this your parents is. And that's something that should worry all Americans.
And segregation has reoccurred. Zero tolerance school discipline practices affect black males at a rate 3 times higher than their white peers. California.
All right, so they all did it. They were all on message. Stir up the masses. Attack the white male. Make the white man and the white person the scapegoat in America. I'm sorry to make a jump cut for you now. I see trends before you do, which is why I'm successful. I will tell you point blank, this was done in Germany in the 1930s. When Hitler's great experiments were not going as fast as he wanted them to go, when his economic measures were not working, when he could no longer get the German people behind him, this was early now, they decided in secret meetings, and I've studied this historically, to create a scapegoat. The scapegoat was the Jew. And then they all went out on message that the Jew caused Germany to collapse, the Jew was responsible for the lack of economic progress, blah, blah, blah. So now we're not talking about Jewish people, thank God. Instead, they're talking about white people or rich people. The new scapegoat for Obama's lies, scandals, and failures is exactly what I just said to you. I see history being repeated. And watch out, because everything starts with a word, and it ends with a deed. It's the Savage Nation. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
All of the racially motivated speeches that were done by Michelle Obama, John Kerry, Nancy Pelosi, and even little Timmy Geithner. They got him out of the Doctor and the Devils. In a past generation, Timmy Geithner probably would have been the type that knocked out drunks and sold them to doctors for anatomy lessons. But now he was born to a rich family in New York in the Five Towns, grew up rich, and yet he had the nerve to give a speech saying that the color of your skin determines whether you'll be successful or not. John Kerry did the same thing at Yale. Again, pandering to the non-whites in the audience like they're the good whites. I mean, you know, this is getting really sickening that these people are so... You know, there's a word that I'm looking for. Not demonic. The demagogue comes to mind. How can an audience of minorities look at a white man like John Kerry, one of the richest men on earth, gives a speech at Yale and talks again about, again, you know, the race card? How can they listen to a guy like little Timmy Geithner say that the color of the skin determines a person's chances of success? You know, I mean, we can turn it around on him and say, sure, it sure worked that way for Obama and Holder. I agree with you on that. But no one would dare say that. I mean, you could turn rhetoric around on them if you had the chance, but they don't accept any arguments. It's not England. You know, although England has great limitations on free speech, I do love the two parties argue with each other in an open format. The idiots who run our country could never hold up to an actual debate, ever. And look, what's happening here is that you have a failed, collapsed presidency that is, I would say, more corrupt than any presidency I've seen in my lifetime. You've heard this before. You think it's just people who are bashing them because they're not Democrats, they're not liberals, or they're racist, whatever you want to, you know, fill in the blank of your own bias. But what he's doing here, him and his minions are scapegoating both white people and rich people, which is intriguing to me since he's surrounded by white rich people, and most of his funds come from white rich people. That's the intriguing part. But be very careful of the scapegoating, because I told you everything begins with a word and ends with a deed. And when you start scapegoating an entire class of people, whether it be on economics or on race, it ends badly, really badly. And I gave you an example yesterday of the Khmer Rouge in Cambodia. It's a very important lesson for you. Boys and girls, it's a really important lesson for you. Many of you are young and you've been brainwashed in colleges, and even if you had an independent, skeptical mind and you just went along with the program knowing that your radical, disgusting professor forced you to make believe you were listening, but you were smart enough to really know what was going on, the brainwashing has had its effect on you, and you're hobbled in your ability to speak your mind and to even see things as they are, which is, of course, why you're taking time out of your busy day to listen to Michael Savage. I am the uncle you've all wished that you had in your life, and I used to exist in America. All right, whatever. I'd rather talk about gluten. I knew this would trigger calls, but you're going to get basically marginal people. Anyone calling about gluten is a marginal person, one way or the other. Now they'll all hang up. I told you, and I'll repeat it again, the researchers who originally provided the key evidence of so-called gluten sensitivity amongst non-celiacs have now done a new study and proved definitively that it doesn't exist at all. So you can have your cake and eat it too. You can go ahead and eat your bread. Bread is the staff of life. Give us this day our daily bread. I mean, you what? You ask yourself how many people can brainwash themselves through the placebo effect into thinking that they're getting ill from bread, and they're going to get ill from bread. Now, it is true if you eliminate bread, you're going to lose weight. There's no question about it. There are people who've given up bread and gluten. They think they feel better. Fine. But you're not feeling better because you've eliminated gluten from your diet. You're feeling better because you lost weight because you stopped eating bread. You stopped stuffing your face. You have to understand that. Just as global warming has been seen for the fraud it is, an attempt of overreach by governments, taxation, regulation, scare tactics again. Remember in the 70s what the big scare was? Do you remember it? Jerry Brown is now he's a global warming fanatic now, right? Back in the 70s, it was acid rain. Whatever happened to acid rain? In the 70s, the world was coming to an end because of high acid from pollution and the way the winds ran. All the northern forests in Europe were going to be wiped out. And many of us were frightened by that lie. Do you remember before that in the 60s, the crackpot professor at Stanford, Paul Ehrlich, wrote The Population Bomb, and he said we'd all be dead by 1975 from overpopulation? So far as I know, the crackpot is still teaching and collecting a big fat check, brainwashing the next generation. So now the brainwashing is on the climate. They've been proven wrong in virtually everything else, and now it's the climate change. They went from global warming, climate change, to now climate disruption. The definition of climate is disruption. Weather is not consistent anywhere except in a Hollywood movie. And from one scene to the next, even the weather changes in a Hollywood movie. And yet here we have these lunatics, most of whom have no knowledge of science, saying all the science is in, which is the sign of no science. Can't say all the science is in, because tomorrow there could be a new experiment which disproves your belief system, your understanding, rather, of a subject, and that means that the science is not in. The minute you say the science is in, you become a zealot and a politician rather than a scientist. Say, you could say, well, most of the science is in, and we're open to the other side, but they don't say that. So the mark of a liar and a propagandist is saying all the science is in.
Savage.